Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello. Hello. Anyone around here speak basketball?
Aging Bobby Webster.
This is Adam Silver.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Confederacy of Dunks
Basketball Podcast.
I am your host, Freddie Rivas, who is contractually obliged to say Vision 6-9 for a couple more episodes. And who on the other side are you?
Freddie, I'm your producer. My name is Matt Duncan. I'm running the Confederacy of Dunks podcast on Raptors Republic. And how are you doing with our boy Kyle Lowry back in the finals?
Yeah. I'm very happy for Kyle. I won't and I can't root for Miami. They are a glamour market. Can't do it.
Yeah.
But I'm very, very happy for Kyle. I love both teams, Nuggets and five. But we're going to talk about it more. Maddie, let me just before we dive into the pod, you're a hardcore Leafs fan. Dubas fired.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy in Leafland right now. Dubas is gone. We don't know what's going to happen. Shanahan's throwing down that Mimico attitude that I grew up knowing. You don't want to cross a Mimico dude, man.
This is a Mimico attitude.
It's a Mimico.
We're a Raptors podcast. We're NBA podcast. We'll be leading with NBA today. We're with Raptors Republic. Let's get into it. First guest, he's been on a couple times. Great guest. He actually just, he works with Raptors Republic too. He's a writer. And he does the wrap up podcast. He just did an episode with, Oren Weisfeld, which is really good. Make sure you check that out. It's about the future of the NBA. Is it in trouble? Is it thriving? Like really sort of awesome evergreen topics. Like that's my space. I love to, live in that zone. So make sure you check that pod out. It's with Oren as well. Let's bring him on. Make some noise. Even if you're at home alone, for Aiden Moss. What's up?
Yo.
I don't know if this is a song that, like, if it goes further or if that's it, you know?
I think that's it. It hits my personality type so hard, just, like, slow and deep and constant. I love it.
But I keep thinking it's going to break it and break into, like, I'm waking up. Whatever that, you know, imagine. Is that imagine?
Oh, God. Break? Not that era, please, no.
Yeah. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's bring our guest number two. She's an awesome comedian. She's an improviser. She does a lot of WNBA stuff. She showed me and Catherine the ropes for this most recent WNBA game. She was kind enough to let me call her the day before and figure out like where I'm supposed to enter the building as media. And I got some pretty bad ADD. So that was like the biggest part of it for me, trying to figure out where to go and all that kind of stuff. And she's also, I think this is pretty new, the managing editor-in-chief of Raptors HQ. Make some noise, even if you're home alone, for Chelsea Late. Also rocking a Liberty jersey, Sabrina Ionescu.
Always.
One of the two super teams, although right now the Aces look insane. What's up, Chelsea? Thanks for joining.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the fact that we're going to perform together for the first time this weekend.
Yeah, we're doing beer.
Yeah, beer, you and me. So yeah, we're just moving our podcast thing onto the stage.
Yeah, if you are in Toronto, beer is a show where when you buy a ticket, you get two beers. So that's pretty good. It's an improv show. It's like four different groups, and me and Chelsea are going to be in the last group. We're in a thread, and I made a joke about making it all about basketball. But then I think everyone was like, let's take this guy seriously. Like, he really wants to do this. But I only was half joking. So, I mean, I would do an entire improv set about basketball.
Yeah. And I suggested my favorite improv troupe name that I've ever come up with. It's probably the best piece of writing I've ever done. So come to that if you want to know what our name is.
Yeah, come check it out. But yeah, I'm pumped, Chelsea. And thanks for being on the pod again.
Yeah, anytime.
All right, let's jump in. We're going to do some NBA first. Maddie, good sir, give me your best, weirdest, Weird Al NBA sting.
This is Adam Silver,
It's not even weird to me anymore.
Trust in Masai.
There we go. Trust in Masai. Yeah. I made this joke before, but we got ChatGPT and whatever this thing is a really early version. I can't pronounce the guy's name. Okay, let's start with you. I'll start with you, Chelsea. A bit of a convoluted question here, but sort of, you know, ever since the Raptors won, I've been really fascinated with this. You know, I remember when we beat the Warriors, there was this feeling of, you know, a new era coming in. Like, it wasn't going to be the Warriors and the Cavs playing each other over and over. And this, you know, with Miami and with Miami beating the Celtics, it makes it 5 years in a row that no team has returned to the finals back to back, tying a 5-year stretch in the 70s. So I think really, you know, this era will be defined as a parity era. Obviously you got a lot of international MVPs. You know, there's not really an American MVP in sight, in my opinion. So yeah, it's really kind of a changing league. And so my question is kind of twofold. How does this series, in your opinion, reflect this idea of parity or not? And how long is this era going to last?
I think, like, for the first part, I think it just reflects the amount of international talent that the NBA is getting and their focus on trying to make their league a bit more worldwide and accessible. And I mean, when the Raptors won the championship, and it was really the first time that I had heard like much of the like talk and jargon that goes along with a championship. And the big thing is like world champions. And it's like, okay, but your league is America plus like one team in Canada. Like, this is a big thing to be calling yourself world champion, right?
Yeah.
And I think over the past couple of years, what I've realized is, okay, they're starting to like live up to that a little bit more just because a lot of their talent is like worldwide. And I think it's good. I mean, there's obviously talent all over the world, and the fact that now we have the reach and the resources to be able to go find that talent, bring it to this league and be able to see it grow. And, you know, those are the stories everybody loves. Everybody loves the, like, you know, we found this person and then we brought him to America and now he's an MVP kind of thing. And I just think this particular finals is like a win for Canada. And I'm always going to bring the Canadian narrative into it, but it's like, you got to have like the Jamal Murray, Kyle Lowry thing. I love it. So I love that. And I think, yeah, it's just making it more like accessible to the international audience, which they need, because that equals money. And we know that the NBA loves money. So yeah. And I think in terms of like the actual parity of the league itself, it only makes it more exciting. Again, like, you know, I'm going to bring up that Sports Illustrated guy who was like, there's no stories. Like, there's like a plethora of like anything you can ever think of when it comes to stories, and parody only helps that, because you find all these guys on these random teams that you didn't think were, you know, going to have a chance. And then you have the comeback stories and the underdog stories and all that stuff that people just like eat up. And like, again, we'll spend so much money, you know, reading and doing all that stuff for. So it's only good things, I think, for the players, for the league, and also for us, like reporting it and writing about it.
Yeah, you know, I think if you love nuance and you love sort of new stories and sort of not having to go back to this kind of like, you like a league that's not one note. And you know, we're both huge WNBA fans, and you know, that league is just like, it's the opposite of one note. It's, you know, it's just such a dramatic kind of constant change. How long do you think this is going to go on for a long time? Or do you see, like, is this kind of the calm before the storm, of another super team sort of thing? Like, do you see, not necessarily super team, but do you think that like this, the parody era, for instance, is going to go on for 10 years?
I think so. And I think that only lends to the fact that you have these international talents and scouts and draft people are just getting better and better. You think about where, you know, Nikola was drafted like 42nd or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. and now look, and then you have people coming from Canada, like Jamal Murray and other, like, you know, Shy mm-hmm. and all those people. Right. And I think, you know, these little underdogs are just going to keep being found from all these random places because, like I said, because of the internet and the global reach of basketball now, you can go find some random kid in some small town and, you know, make them a superstar. And so that's going to happen more and more. And so you can't have all those people on one team, obviously. And even sometimes when you do, think of the Nets, it doesn't work. So I just think that, yeah, we're in a cool era of, like you said, parody, but I think it's just because the like amount of talent and the amount of resources these people have. You can take a kid now who may not be like the best and like give him a bunch of training. And if you have mm-hmm. resources and money, you can do whatever you want. Right. So I think it's only going to get better because there's just so many more resources. They don't have to rely on just like being from America and being tall and talented anymore.
Right. Like there's more access. And, you know, I think also mm-hmm. as basketball, you know, I mean, I don't think it will ever sort of threaten soccer, or I mean, I'm sure by the numbers, maybe not cricket as well. But, you know, I feel like as far as like access, it has to be, you know, top three, top five played sports in the world. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's only going to happen more and more and more. And then even within America, within, you know, Canada, you're going to have like watching Haywood Highsmith and hearing them be like, he's from Wheeling Jesuit. And I'm like, Wheeling Jesuit? What in God's name is that? But yeah, like, you know, I think the sort of the bar for the players who are sort of on the role player, the lower end, that's raising as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aiden, what's your sort of take on kind of like the overall parody, how it's reflected in the series, kind of where that's, you know, how long is it going to last?
Yeah, I agree with everything you've all said. And to add to that, I think, you know, we saw Canada's evolution as a basketball nation. It took, you know, 10, 15 years. But now you look at the ranks of college basketball, the NBA, Europe, it's just filled with Canadians. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see something similar with African nations as well in the coming decade. And I think yep. that adds to this larger idea of there's just more skilled athletic people out there that are filling the NBA year by year. And that's adding to this idea of parity. It's just like, there's just a lot more skill and a lot more like interesting bodies like Wembanyama coming to the forefront. So that adds to it. I also think the 3-point shot has created some kind of like equalizer, right? If yeah, you look at, sure. I mean, if we look at the series, Denver and Miami are top two in 3-point percentage. So if you can, you know, outshoot a team like Miami essentially did to Boston for a series, you have a shot. Everybody has a shot. So I think that kind of adds to parity a little bit. And then the last thing I'll say, as far as where we're seeing this going with the new CBA, I think parity, we have no choice but parity. Mm-hmm. It seems like, as far as what I've heard about the CBA, is that you can't have more than two max guys. And you're going to have to do really well at finding the Highsmiths, like you mentioned, the Duncan Robinsons, these other guys that can fill your roster. And so if you look at a team that has a lot of young and up and coming talent, even the Raptors, it's like 3 years down the road, if they have to choose between Pascal, OG, Precious, and Scotty, they're going to have to make some really hard decisions and inevitably not sign somebody. And then those guys are going to go to other teams that do have space and money. So then you're going to be spreading out the resources. Whereas maybe 5 years ago, or even last year, if you're the Clippers or the Warriors, you're just buying up as many players as you can and creating this kind of top heavy effect. So I think parity is where this is, the era of basketball is going to continue.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. Like, I think it's sort of maybe some team kind of cracks a new code. But I do think that it's almost like a point of no return. Like the talent level, the skill level, international players, like everything's just on the rise, and it's hard to imagine any reversal of that. And you know, it's a really good point about the three, right? Because I feel like more and more kids are coming up. Like, could you imagine a guy like Wembanyama, you know, working so hard to be a 3-point shooter even, you know, 15 years ago? Like, you know, there's a, like, even like, you know, the Raptors have Poeltl, right? If Poeltl was coming into the league now, I'm sure people would say, like, buddy, you absolutely need a three.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot not have a three. Like, you have to shoot. And I think you even see that with Koloko, right? Koloko is, he wants to have a three. He did hit a three in a pivotal game.
I was sick.
Yeah, that was like not a lot of really like fun moments. That was one.
Yeah. And then him after, like in the press room, just being like, yeah, I knew it was gonna go in. I was like, yes.
I know. I'm such a big fan of like a player doing something that is extremely unlikely and then just owning it like it was meant to be.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna stick with you, Aiden, for this next question here. And yeah, you actually, you know, threw it in the thread before the pod. So, you know, give me any thoughts you have on, we'll just do sort of a quick thing on, you know, any thoughts you have on Bob Myers resigning, as well as, of the three coaching vacancies that have been filled, I think there's still three more: Detroit, Phoenix, and Toronto. But, yeah, so we have Adrian Griffin with the Bucks, Nick Nurse with the 76ers, and Ime Udoka with the Rockets. Of those three, like, who are you the most optimistic about? And yeah, what's your thoughts on Bob Myers quitting, resigning?
Yeah, so Bob Myers, it kind of ties in. Like, we were talking about just before how I have zero expertise on coaching. Like, these guys are at a level of intellect and like, I think there's so much more at play than I understand. So I have a limited perspective. But what I do think is that for me, there's two really important things. One is long-termness. I mean, again, if we look at Miami and Denver, those two coaches are two of the longest tenured in the league. I think it's like Popovich, and I'm not even sure who the next one would be. So I think stability really goes a long way. And this sudden, you know, short-sightedness as far as coaching goes and immediate expectations, I think is a poor way to approach building a winning franchise.
Yeah.
And then the other part is, I think you got to make the players happy. Like, I think there are circumstances where it's the institution, the coach goes first. And I think Miami's a pretty good example. But at the end of the day, the players got to be happy. So with that being said, I think the Adrian Griffin signing to Milwaukee is the best. And bottom line, it's because Giannis wanted it. And if Giannis wants it, and I think Griffin's a cool dude. He's an ex-NBA player. He looks like he has a chill vibe. From what I've heard, he's a thoughtful, like, intellectual coach. So I think for a veteran team like Milwaukee, it's all about just having those vibes fit. So I think that's the best signing. I don't know about Nurse and Embiid, to be honest. Like, that's like the opposite of vibes fitting. I feel like their vibes are at other ends of the spectrum. So it's going to be interesting to see how that looks. And I definitely don't think James Harden and Nick Nurse are compatible either. So I wonder about that situation. And then just quickly on Myers, I think Myers kind of outgrew his position. Maybe, like, it seems like he wants bigger and better things. Is that indicative of an era change in Golden State? I don't know. Remains to be seen, but kind of just seems like Myers is ready to go.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it ties in well to era, right? You know, the Warriors sort of I mean, I think a dynasty will happen again. Like that's sort of the flow of the NBA. And even if it's a long time before there's another dynasty, I do think that like what the Warriors did will definitely, you know, stand the test of time. And Myers leaving, I think even if it's not like a big sort of, even if it doesn't feel like a big moment, I think it will end up being a big one. Mm. Although I will just add, I do think, you know, just to sort of jump back to the parody thing real quick, I do think that Jokic is set up and Denver are set up to be very good for a long time. And I think the West, I don't know, I feel like a lot of teams are on the decline in the West. So, but yeah, that's just a little aside. But yeah, I agree with you on all the coaches. I feel like Griffin is mine. Your main point is salient to me. Like it's a coach where, or it's a league where players have such a say and how they interact with the coach really, really matters. So the fact that he's a, you know, sort of has the blessing of Giannis, A,
yeah,
is huge, and B, players clearly seem to like him. Well, I think that's a major, major thing in the league. You know, it's not college. You can't sort of boss players around and say, I know best, just do what I say. Like that just doesn't really fly. I think Raptors fans know that well with the last, year or two of Nurse.
Yeah. And I think like it depends too, you know, if it's Houston, I think you do need that a little bit more. And I think Ime is probably going to provide that like structure, strictness, like buy in or get out kind of thing. But with Milwaukee, you know what you have, right? Like they have won it all with the collection of players they have, and assuming they're running it back, you know, it's going to be tweaks and stuff. So I don't think you can really go wrong with whoever you sign, so long as like you're saying, like there's like a cohesion there from the get-go.
Yeah. And, you know, you know, touch on what one of your other points too. I think the Bud firing was one of the more interesting firings to me. Like I every time I hear sort of like, oh, this timeout was bad or this adjustment was bad, it's just hard for me not to look at like Bud's regular season and playoff record and championship, you know, even with Atlanta, and sort of see a coach that's really talented. But yeah, again, I'm sure there's so much I don't know. And I think it could be as simple as Giannis being like, I'd like a new coach. And then that's sort of that. Okay, Chelsea, I hope we didn't take all the points. But yeah, what's your thoughts on, you know, Myers and the coaches and the fit?
Yeah, the first thing I would like to say is that I guessed that Nick Nurse was going to go to Philadelphia a month ago. So I just
saw that. Yeah, that was huge.
I guessed. I was right. But anyway, and I, honestly, like I was just guessing that mostly out of like, that'd be funny. And then it happened. So, but I honestly thought that Nurse was going to go either to the Bucks or to the Suns, honestly. And my thought process with the Suns was that like his first year in Toronto, you had like Kawhi Leonard, you had like these big like names and a lot of pressure, which I feel like the Suns also have. Mm-hmm. You know, they just got KD. They have, you know, they're on the back end of Chris Paul. They have Devin Booker, you know, all those like young people that they have so much potential, and people have just been waiting for it for a couple of years, which I feel like the Raptors were kind of in that same like cusp as Nick Nurse came in. So I was like, oh, that might be a good fit. He might be able to like repeat his like glory or whatever.
Right.
And then with the Bucks again, like I just thought like, again, you have a group of really talented people. And then you have, you know, this coach that has like a determined winning, you know, record. He has a championship, whatever. And is also kind of, I think, from that area, like of geographically. And so I thought that was a good fit too. And I agree that the Philadelphia fit is maybe the least likely and the least kind of like when you think about it logistically. I did hear that Embiid and Nurse like met and it went well. So like, I don't know. Yeah, again, there's so much that like we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. We're literally just getting the like this person interviewed and this person interviewed. And I think out of a lot of things in the NBA, I do think they keep these coaching searches like the most under wraps for whatever reason. So, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how he interacts with Embiid and how he reacts with Harden. I think the Harden thing might be even a little bit more interesting because you know that Harden doesn't really have like that like loyalty to teams that maybe like Embiid or Giannis or like, you know, others may have because he's moved around so much. So I'm very curious to see, like, is Harden going to request a trade at some point? Is Embiid going to request a trade? Like, how long this experiment, I guess, that they're going into will last. And you're right, we're in an era where coaches literally have like a season, if that, to prove themselves. And then, you know, there's so many different candidates out there that are like ready and that they could take their pick of, that they're like, oh, you didn't work, you're gone. You know, there's so many other people we could pick from. So it's definitely an interesting era. And I do think like the Adrian Griffin to the Bucks thing is also very interesting too, because I didn't expect them to go for a first time coach. I kind of expected them to pick someone who, you know, has a experience being a head coach. And maybe that was Giannis's choice because, you know, he wants to, I wouldn't say like mold his own coach, but, you know, you think of teams like Giannis, you think of Embiid, you think of, you know, these players who have a lot of say. And like, we were talking about this about the W too. You know, I don't know how many people listening to this will get this reference, but like when the Phoenix Mercury were thinking of a coach, it was like who Diana Taurasi wanted and who would play the style of what Diana Taurasi wanted. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of the same situation with the Bucks and, you know, him wanting a coach that would play this or the style of basketball that he would want. And yeah. I mean, yeah, good for it's also good press for the Raptors too. You think of all these coaches that have been in our coaching system that are now being considered for these jobs, and even coaches that were in our coaching system in previous who have gone to other places or are coming back and are being considered for our position. I think it just like says good things about our franchise, and you know, good for Adrian Griffin for being able to, you know, break that next barrier in his career. And I mean, you know, when I heard him speak about basketball, he seems very knowledgeable, and, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what he looks like as like a full-time head coach.
Do we call it the Dwayne Casey coaching tree?
I guess.
I think we do. And it's so funny because I mean, like, I know that's like sort of a joke, but like, I also feel like the Casey effect is this roundly dismissed thing. I'm getting on my soapbox here a little bit, but like, I think the Raptors collective is just like, yeah, Casey sucks. Everything he did is bad. And it's sort of this, like, there's this attitude towards DeMar and Dwayne Casey often that I find just so, yeah, so out of bizarre. Touch, you know? Yeah. I mean, like, I think you have to be able to take the things that they did bad and sort of like let that influence you. But also, you know, a Nurse was an assistant of Casey for what? 5 years? 4 years? So yeah, if we're talking tree, like, I think that's how that works, right?
Yeah.
I remember when Casey first got fired, he made allusions to Nurse using parts of his playbook in an interview. So, you know, I mean, Casey obviously, I don't think was too happy about that situation, but anyways, that's my Casey soapbox.
Do we think that Nick Nurse's name was brought up in Detroit at all? Whatsoever.
With Casey being the GM? Absolutely.
Hell no.
I know. I like, yeah, I wrote a little thing today about Nick getting that new job. And I was like, yeah, we can all assume why he wasn't at all brought up in the Detroit search. Like, nobody needs to talk about it. It's just, yeah.
Casey was probably if you can bring back The Rock, if you can find a way to bring The Rock into Detroit, we'll talk.
Yeah. He's probably like, let's interview him just so we can say no.
Yeah. Or he interviews him and he has that, like, what's that? Like the shot thing, NARM or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything he says, he's just like, yeah, that's a lie. Is it called NARM? I didn't stick the landing on that joke, but you guys know what I mean. Yeah. okay. I think it's a good time to, get even more silly. Maddie, good sir, I'm going to ask you to bring yourself in, but first, give me your weirdest Weird Al Raptors sting.
Hey, Bobby Webster.
Yep. Paging Bobby Webster. What it says.
Hashtag we the
shared an elevator with.
Yeah, we did. Oh, sorry, you did. I didn't.
Oh, you weren't there?
I wasn't there, but I did. I did see Banton and Ibaka in the hallway, so that was pretty cool.
Okay, Oh, Catherine was there then. One of you were there. And we...
For Bobby?
For Bobby, yeah. We get in the elevator. It's just Bobby and Christian Coloco and me and Catherine. And I think it was Krina. We're just sitting there like... the entire ride.
Yeah, I think it's like if you're sharing one of those elevators, you don't want to be like, how you doing, Bobby?
Yeah. Usually they don't let you. Like, I've been shoved into other elevators so many times in the players and stuff when it's like Raptors games. But I guess because it was the WNBA game, they're like, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, usually I'm like, they're like, nah, you got to take the peasant elevator. I'm like, all right. So I just wait. Yeah. But
I know Bobby's he's like a coffee connoisseur. So it could be like, what kind of coffee do you have today, Bob? Yeah. He'd be like, you're out.
Don't call me Bob.
Don't call me Bob. A. B. You're banned.
Stay tuned after the break for more Confederacy of Dunks.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Okay, let's jump to this next segment. Maddie's going to kick it off. I haven't seen them yet, but the Sky Dome, Rogers Arena, there's all these like new sort of bars and kind of like restaurants and like activity spaces in the outfield. I don't know how that's working as far as like people watching the game more or not, but it's hilarious and it seems pretty fun and cool. And there's like a bunch of different themes. There's like one with that's like kid friendly. There's one that's like more like there's a bunch of like games, I guess. I'm not selling this, but it does seem pretty cool. And I've heard it's fun. But I want to imagine that at Scotiabank. Obviously, the Leafs also play there. But in this scenario, we're just going to imagine it's sort of Raptors focused. If anyone does have a Raptors / Leafs idea, that's great. But Maddie, the question is, if you were tasked with designing one of these sort of like sections,
right?
What is the vibe? What's going on there? What's the deal? You sell me this section.
Well, one thing that I really liked, I like, but I don't like about what happened at the Rogers Center is they do have one of those, like little store. It's like a store where you can go in and you scan your credit card and just help yourself and leave and it'll just charge you with what you left with.
Okay.
That's, it's convenient, but I feel like we can't be getting rid of jobs. Like there's, you know, people need jobs and
automate people's jobs away.
Yeah.
The main message of this pod.
Yeah. Yeah. If I've taught you anything with the Bobby Webster, Weird Al AI. Yeah. Yeah. It's that they're coming and they're sophisticated.
There used to be a guy who'd say that.
Yeah, you have to blend those.
The one thing that I would really like to happen now, I didn't pick a whole section. I wanted to just take the whole inside of the arena. I don't know if you remember an old restaurant that used to exist around Toronto called the Rainforest Cafe. And I think they're like, they all shut down, but I'm sure the insides of those places are stored away somewhere in some kind of warehouse. Let's bring Rainforest Cafe back to the Scotiabank. I want the animatronic animals and stuff like courtside. Sure. I want it like malfunctioning and like grabbing Nav and it's sparking. And
like, yeah, sure.
I want it to be a bit scary, but you know, they do. I remember, I've only been there a couple times, but they're, you know, they simulate a thunder shower and stuff throughout the game. I think that'd be cool to see a little bit of rain on the court. Got to clean it up.
Yeah. All your ideas end up with the court being wet, by the way.
It's true.
Which I love.
Yeah. Because they're the Raptors, you got to have a bit more of that jungle feel in there. Now, I'm afraid they're going to have to just take it all down for the Leaf games and put it right back up again with the hardwood. So it's going to be at a couple extra hours. I'm just trying to make more work for people here. This is my.
Oh, cool.
This is part of. Yeah, I'm running for mayor.
You're keeping the workers in mind. Thanks, man.
Yeah, lots more work. But I just figure keep the Rainforest Cafe out of a landfill and let's bring it to the Scotiabank Arena.
I love it. I love that it's intact somewhere in a landfill. We're just going to bring that baby back. I also love, you know, I feel like your idea, I'm imagining like a, it's a rainforest cafe, but it's a bit more on the Jumanji side.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? like it's pretty scary. Like you roll the wrong dice and there's D's yes. everywhere or whatever.
Yes,
yeah,
Freddie.
Yeah. This is cool. Okay. We're going to go with you, Aiden. What's your section? Is it as dangerous as Matt's? Is the cork going to get wet?
It's a lot less dangerous. I have two. One is just an opportunity to put my advocacy hat on and say that, like, I would like to see a really well-designed accessibility section.
Oh my God, like, yeah.
I've sat in a lot of wheelchair sections in the past, and you can't see. They're at weird angles. They're really high up. Like, it'd be really nice to see something that's elevated, closer to the court, have some side tables, some like headphones and TV, so that it's like a much better experience for people that have impairments for whatever disabilities they have. So I would like to see that in the new Scotiabank Arena.
Okay. That's actually real good idea.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. I had to take my chance. Yeah. And so for the fun one though, I'm calling it second row section.
Okay.
And so like you get to be in the second row, like the quote unquote second row of the assistant coach's bench. So you sit in the back and you get to tune in for all of the timeouts. You get all you can drink Gatorade. And then at quarter time, you get to like one of the assistant coaches, one of the less important ones, comes into your section and you kind of have like this Congress, you know, like they'll talk to you, they'll answer some questions, whatever. The same way they interview a coach at quarter time on TNT and they literally say nothing. You could have a similar interaction with a select group of fans for the game.
Okay. This is awesome. I'm picturing like, you know, you're right beside Trevor Gleason. You know, he's popping in with his Aussie accent. You're like, hey, what does this guy do? He's like a really big part of the team. Wait, is your idea like, are they there or is it like VR?
Well, that's good. You could do both because I don't want it to just be people who can afford to spend $1,000 for this experience. Right. I want it to be accessible to everybody. So yeah, VR would be a good way. Or, you know, like it's randomly pulled. So everybody buys tickets normally. And then it's like you're automatically entered into the lottery. So you get this random selection of people that get to go down in this little section. And then, yeah, you get to elbow Trev, be like, hey, I think it's time to put Banton in. Like, we could use some perimeter defense. He can tell you to F off, but yeah.
Yeah, everything you say to Trevor, he's just like, I don't have the power to do that. But I love that everyone gets to have their moment. Unlimited Gatorade's wonderful. I don't know anyone that's ever requested that, but I love the idea of them just like every sip you have of Gatorade, someone's coming along and filling it up.
Just sections littered with used cups.
Yeah, it's an environmental hazard. And who knows, maybe for Matt, people drop a Gatorade or two, cork gets wet.
Please.
Okay. Chelsea, what's your section? What's the vibe?
All right. This may get me canceled.
Okay, good.
But, good, this is the vibe. But, okay, we've all been to a club, right? Like a nightclub.
Yes.
And personally, my favorite part about a nightclub is when they say women get in free.
Yes.
So, my idea for the new Scotiabank Arena is that you have a section that, you know, whether it's like the J's where you can just kind of freely walk around, activities, whatever, or if it's just like a section of seats where it is one, only women, and two, women get in free. Mic drop.
I mean,
not only do we not have to interact with men, we also don't have to spend money. We'll buy drinks, or if you want to give us the drinks, whatever. Like it's like club rules. You go in, don't have to, you know, deal with the guy yelling next to you about whatever. You don't have to deal with the guy who's randomly seated next to you, who's going to like ask you to go to his apartment after, which has totally happened to me, unfortunately. all of the things. And then you just get to like vibe with your girls and like watch the Raptors.
I love this idea. And also, if this gets you canceled, things are truly in a bad place.
Yeah, I've gotten some strange comments online, but
yeah,
I think it's innovative personally.
I guess any incels listening, don't listen to my podcast. You know, maybe can I add that they're like, there's like maybe you could pay like either like, you know, we want, I was going to say an AI or like a robot man that like does something dumb and then like ask someone to go to their apartment and then gets like totally clowned and everyone like cheers him out of the section.
Dump a drink.
Yeah. Yeah. Dump a drink. Cork gets wet.
It's like, do you guys remember the shooting thing from the Tokyo Olympics?
Yes.
Bring that guy back.
Yeah.
We'll
yeah, but also let's protect jobs here. You know, let's hire an actor that comes
there's so
in.
There's so many of them.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Jobs. There's can a we lot get of it? Them.
Can we get the inverse of that section? Because sometimes you go to a game and it's like so quiet and dead. But like you can opt into a section where it's just like large, sweaty dudes with their shirts off that like are yelling obscenities for four quarters. And you're just kind of like, this is cool. This is a cool aggro sports experience, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like just we'll call that like you, the danger section where you're sort of like you're there's an element of danger.
Sign a waiver.
You sign a waiver. There's like
yeah, get up, yeah.
It's like playing pickup with a guy that's like shirtless but like really hairy, and you're like, oh man, just bring an extra shirt. Okay, that's a very specific personal reference.
That might be me actually, but yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen. If we play together, I avoid conflict, so I wouldn't say anything. But my section, I'm going to try and take a bit of a different turn here. I'm thinking, you know, obviously a not branded thing, but like sort of like a Chapters Indigo vibe. So I want to have like a library reading section where it's all basketball books and poems and just like audio clippings. Like it's one of those things where you can like hit a button and it will be like a famous quote. And it's just sort of like a historic aspect. Like, did you know on this day, you know, like Mamadou Ndiaye blocked two shots or whatever. Whoa. Like it doesn't have to be Raptors history. And then, yeah, you could have like an alternative section. Like Chris Childs, he lit a joint after the Raptors got eliminated by the Knicks or whatever.
Interactive.
You have to have Rapture by Nick Nurse just like on the shelf.
100%.
Has to be a bookend.
And then just, I mean, like, we'll just, I guess, make like a, every drink you have, like, we'll make sure it's in throwing distance to the court just to make sure the court gets wet.
A little bit wet.
Yeah.
I'm picturing, just you, Freddie, and like 12 75-year-old British guys.
Yeah. That's the vibe we're going for. This is like, yeah, it's like, you know, you want a rowdy section, Aiden? This is like the quiet car on the GO train.
Yeah.
Everyone's very pensive. Yeah, you can barely see the game. Okay, I think we did it. Maddie, thank you. Let's do this last segment here. Chelsea, I'm going to go to you. Mm-hmm. And this is a Raptors question. And I mean, I think there's a lot of things that people want to see and a lot of questions we have, but yeah, for whatever reason, I'll just let you sort of go in whatever direction you want. What's your biggest question or questions about the Raptors off season? But I'm sort of looking for like a catalyst. Like what's something that you think is going to kind of set the tone for everything else?
Yeah, I mean, I was writing about this last week where I was trying to do like player reviews and like what the future of certain players would be, but it's so hard to think about the future of this franchise without knowing what like their vibe is for the next like 3 years for the front office and the franchise organization, whatever, to figure out which road they're going to go down, whether they're going to go down the like development, we're going to draft high picks, we're going to develop these young people, we're going to give away our biggest assets and get something in return in terms of young people, or if they're going to go down the route of like, we want to make the playoffs, we want to be a contending team. So we're going to invest in the people that we have, and we're going to try and get good pieces back. And we're not going to play this whole draft lottery game for the next couple of years. And so for me, like, it's so hard to think about, you know, who we draft, what we do, who we trade, who we keep, what money goes where, without knowing what, which one of those roads that the team is going to go down. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's like, I feel like not only will the coach be a determination of that, but I think the bigger factor is going to be like our free agency and like leading up to the draft. And like, if any trades happen before the draft, if they trade up for number three, then obviously, you know, they're going in the development route. And if they don't, and they just keep 13 and they go into free agency the way that they're going into it right now, then you know that they're going to try and contend. And for me, that's like the deciding factor and like the biggest question going into it, because right now we don't really have a sense of like what this franchise is all about. And I mean, knowing Masai and knowing his kind of style, I personally think that he might go into the contender route, but also he might not be given that choice because his free agents might just walk, you know? So, yeah, it's definitely a weird time where it's hard to predict the future. And this offseason is really big for that.
Yeah, well said. And I think, you know, I want to jump on your last point, because I think knowing Masai, right, you know, there's what would fans want, and there's, you know, the different camps of as far as direction, et cetera. And there's also the Portland rumors, which were a big deal last summer as well, right? Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, Masai has sort of indicated that he feels like free agency is, you know, via trades, and, you know, he traded away the draft pick for next year. And got Poeltl. So it seems like he's more interested in being competitive, you know, back to the beginning of the pod, parity. He brought that up a bunch of times. But I think what you said in the last sort of, you know, your last point about the free agents walking, like, I think as a Raptors fan, we have examples of both retaining free agents and free agents walking. And I think that really is going to set the tone, the coach as well, for sure. But to me, it's Fred. I think if Fred does a sign and trade or leaves or whatever, this team, you know, the Fred and Siakam duo, everything about it, I think, is just like permanently altered. And I think if Fred comes back, I feel like there's going to be a lot of, even if Fred came back and Poeltl and Gary walked, there's still that kind of, there's still more continuity. But I think if Fred is gone for any reason, then that to me is sort of the biggest question. And then, you know, then you can, I mean, we'll talk about it more later, like in future podcasts, but that comes down to like, what are you willing to pay Fred? Are any of these teams going to sort of throw him a lot of money? We know that that's been a rumor in the past that hasn't happened, but maybe it does this time. Yeah, Aiden, what's your sort of biggest questions heading into the offseason? Or I mean, in the offseason.
I'm the same with Chelsea. It's like, what road do they want to go down? The one thing I will kind of disagree with you, Freddie, is I think that Freddie could be an opportunity for like a micro reset, right? Like, Poeltl really is kind of the curveball here. That's like, if we acquired Poeltl, then why would we do a full reset?
Right.
I do think that if they feel like they hit their heads on the ceiling, letting Freddie go and maybe getting something back for him, and then finding a new identity with this team, with Pascal still being the focal point, is a likelihood. But I think generally what's interesting to me is, and you mentioned this, how Masai talked a lot about parity and kind of like, everybody's kind of waiting in the weeds to jump on an opportunity to make a run. And Miami is a perfect example, right? And as an executive, you can look at Miami in two ways. You could say, oh, that could be us. Like, we're one piece away. Like, all we got to do is figure out how to make, like, get that one piece. Or you could look at it and say, everybody else is looking at Miami thinking it's their us. Now it's arbitrage for us to leverage that one piece and trade it away to other teams. So I would be curious to see how Masai looks at that. He could, you know, he could use OG, for example, or Freddie, either one, or Gary for that matter. He could use any one of those three and trade them to a team who really feels like they're this close. The Kings would be a perfect example, right? Like if he could trade OG to the Kings for a ton, maybe he'll do that. And so I think like, I think the biggest question is what road, but I'm just really curious about how, and Masai is always looking for that arbitrage. And I'm just kind of curious how he's going to approach that.
Yeah, I know it's a good point. And I think sort of my like guiding light with Masai has always been that, you know, he doesn't like to operate when he doesn't have a lot of leverage. So that's why, you know, what happened at the deadline didn't surprise me. When we didn't trade Kyle at the deadline, Tampa didn't surprise me. So, but yeah, like I think that's sort of what's interesting about this period for the Raptors is, like you said, well, if everyone's, you know, being like, I could be like Miami, maybe Masai's looking at our team and being like, yeah, but we could also be like Chicago. So let's, Pascal's got like, a solid, whatever, 3 or 4 years of being like a fantastic player. So, you know, maybe let's trade OG or Fred and bring in some younger talent / established players. Cause that was a rumor in the trade deadline as well, right? He doesn't just want draft picks. Like he doesn't want a bunch of players that need development time. Like I think he wants sort of ready-made players as well. But good points all around. Chelsea, is there anything you want to add?
Yeah, I definitely agree with the like whole Miami aspect of it. Like the way that they just kind of like came in from the play-in, were super close to losing to Chicago, who Chicago probably would have ended up losing in like the first round. And now we're in the finals. Like I feel like Masai is going to take that and be like, that could be me, and run with it. Because again, like the playoffs are very different, as we've all seen from this year, from the regular season. So, I mean, as long as you can get a spot in the playoffs, you know, the world is your oyster, I guess, to use a cliche term. But yeah, and I could see obviously we don't know, like we say we know him, but we don't like know him, but like, knowing the way that his mind operates sometimes, I definitely could see him going the route of, okay, let's like keep as much as we can. Let's make a run. Let's try to be Miami. Let's do that. Right. And I do think the comparisons of like Miami and Toronto as like two franchises are, you know, valid. So I could see how he could compare himself in terms of that. So I agree.
Yeah, plus that value of continuity, which I think we really underestimate. And again, Denver, their core have been together for a long time, or at least they're like top two. Miami's similar. And like the Raptors have that. And like, we can argue about what their ceiling is. And I think a lot of the naysayers will say that like, we very clearly know it, but I just don't think that growth or like that process is linear. And if internally they feel like we're that close, that could just be, you know, like you're saying, Chelsea, that Miami inspiration could be it. Like we just need that one more piece. Everybody's kind of hitting the peak of their powers all simultaneously. Like let's run this back. I could see that being a thing. I thought that's what this year was going to be like, to be honest, but
it seems completely valid, honestly. And like, don't get me wrong, it's going to cause a lot of like people on Twitter going like, this team, blah, 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 which is going to happen no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, and obviously they're not going to take that into stock because they are, you know, the people of the franchise and not people on Twitter. But I personally think that it's completely valid. And like anybody on Twitter is like, blow it all up. I'm like, I get that side of your point of view as well. But I do think it's completely logical to, especially seeing what we just saw in terms of Miami's run this year. Completely logical to do.
Question for you both. Do you think the coach that we sign will be an indicator of what path we take, or do you think those are not necessarily connected?
Yes and no. I do think, with Nurse, it was, you know, one, he, when they hired Nurse, it was like, okay, he has a lot of run with the franchise, but he's also new and fresh and whatever. I do think like the emphasis on which coach will be, I don't know if they get someone who's familiar with the franchise, say like Sergio, for example, if they bring Sergio back, I think it'll be an indicator of them wanting to contend and have a guy who knows these guys on a somewhat personal level. And then I also think if they get someone like super, super fresh, maybe they're going in the route of development.
Yeah. For me, I've said this a long time or, a lot about Casey, but I think a big part of the sort of Masai Casey dynamic versus the Masai Nurse dynamic is that Casey's job was never fully secure. And I think that whoever Masai brings in is there to execute Masai's vision. And there's going to be like no going rogue and complaining about bench players. Like, I think whoever's there is, yes, it's collaborative, but Masai is their boss. And I think that whoever comes in, that I would be really surprised if it was like a D'Antoni type. If it was someone who came in who was like, Masai, leave me alone. Like, I think whoever comes in is going to be a guy that's like, all right, let's make Scotty work. Let's blah, blah, blah. Like, let's do this. You know what I mean? Let's make your vision a reality. So that's sort of like, in that sense, I don't think it, like, to answer your question, I don't think it's an indication unless there's an extreme sort of like, like stylistic personality that comes in. But I'll just add, back to what we were saying before, thinking about us as Miami, I just heard a wild fact that Kevin Love, every time he's been in the playoffs, has made the finals. So we just got to make sure we pick up Kevin Love next year. And I think things will be all right. That does it for the pod. Thank you both so much. We'll bring Maddie back in. But tell us what's going on, Aiden. What's up? I know you're writing and you're doing the wrap up. But I mean, there's no games right now. But are you going to do sort of more kind of like evergreen material?
Yeah. Oren and I text each other. I get mad about something, and then we agree we should talk about it. So keep an eye out for the quote unquote summer editions of the wrap up. And then similarly, anytime I get mad or think of something, I'll write about it. But there's no constant output right now with the off season. So just keep an eye out on Raptors Republic. There's lots of good stuff going on anyway. That's not me. So
cool. Keep your eyes peeled for Aiden getting mad. You know what I mean? Chelsea, what's up? What do you, what's going on? I mean, lots going on, but what do you want to talk about?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to follow what we're doing on Raptors HQ as well, that's fun. We're writing about a bunch of off-season content and getting some stuff out there. So that's fun. And then on the comedy side, I post shows, and Freddie and I are doing a show again on Saturday. And I have a couple other things coming up. So that's a bunch of fun if you're in Toronto. And then if you're into women's basketball, obviously because of the season is happening right now, I'm doing like a whole bunch of women's basketball pieces and live streams and podcasts and all of that fun stuff. So if you're into the WNBA, then now's a good time to follow that stuff.
Yeah. Amazing. Maddie, why don't you take us away here? What do you want to let the people know?
Thanks for listening. You can go to RaptorsRepublic.com. You can listen to the full podcast there. If you are watching on YouTube, thanks for, if you did check out the clips there, like and subscribe. And yeah, just hit those podcatchers. We really appreciate it. You can also check us out at dunkspodcast.com. And as always, make sure you check out the paywall for the writers. Like Aiden, $6 a month. They write really good stuff and they need our support. So opt in, folks. Opt in. And we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Right on. Maddie, if you feel like we're done, we're good to go, please just give me those words I love so much. Okay.
Okay.
Listen to full episodes of the Confederacy of Dunks only on the Rapcast.